Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star Safari.
Welcome to Y-Space.
Welcome to Y-Space.
So occasionally things fall out of the sky.
Well, I know because my daughter called me very late at night. I think it would have been like 11 o'clock at night, 10:30, 11 o'clock, which she never calls that late unless there is an emergency. And there was an emergency. They saw a very bright light in the sky towards north. So obviously we got very excited. We tried to figure out which direction that light was going through. She said it was a light that had greens and maybe a little bit of purples. And it wasn't, she wasn't the only person to see it. There were other friends of hers with her, and they all thought it was an amazing, amazing thing that they saw in the sky. Now, I saw something like that many, many, many years ago when I was one day going to a supermarket. I won't say which supermarket, in Wellington. And I saw a similar flash of light coming through my eyes. But at the time, I didn't have a meteor camera, which we do now. So, surprise, surprise, the next day, I very eagerly awaited to see the picture on the meteor camera. I was so excited to go and see the streak, and there was nothing there.
No, nothing there. But what there was a bright white screen. Now, our camera points to the north of Star Safari, and so it would have totally seen this object. But the object was so bright it just overwhelmed the sensor. So there was no useful information came from our camera other than the time. So the time that it occurred was that was pretty helpful. As a correlation, as a very bright event. I guess from that, you could probably infer that it would have been, close to where the observation occurred. So anyway, this turns out there was actually a meteorite. So because lots of people around the country saw it. In fact, there was an awesome photo that somebody took of it over Mount Ruapehu, which is pretty cool. So they were looking from the north, northwest, so they would have seen it, this object come down. So that was a really, really cool photo. And, of course, lots of eyewitness reports all around the place seeing this bright thing. So one of our friends, Steve Wynne-Harris, who lives up in near Waipukurau, he's the director of Fireballs Aotearoa, and that's the group that runs the meteor cameras around the country. There's about 160 of these meteor cameras around the country, different places in schools and observatories and people's houses that are looking all different directions to try and see where these things come out of the sky and where they land. So he was hot on it and recovered a meteorite. So New Zealand's 11th meteorite has now been recovered. I think it's the second meteorite recovered in the Wairarapa, so that's pretty cool. It's not very big. It's only, I think, 90 grams or something.
I think they got 14 pieces.
Yeah, got a lot of pieces. So this thing obviously broke apart above the ground. So they found lots of bits to it. So it was really, really cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's very cool. Especially that they called for a search party. We've been part of another search party in the past, and they're lots of fun.
Yeah, so I think Steve did quite a bit of the hard work of trudging around the farm and recovering the meteorite. So that's really important. And it's really important to find these things because these things are the remnants of the solar system when it formed. So it's hard to find rocks that are, over 4 billion years old. And these things are kind of 4.3, 4.5 billion years old, which is incredible. We just don't find rocks that old on Earth because Earth's surface keeps recycling with plate tectonics and that kind of stuff. So to get a rock and recover it, that's come from space and it's a leftover from the formation of the solar system, so really, really old, gives us some good indications of what the solar system was like back then. What kind of stuff was floating around and starting to stick together, which is really cool.
And the meteorite, well, actually, let's have a talk about what these words mean. So if you have a piece of rock in space that has a irregular form, it's called a meteoroid.
A meteoroid.
So that's when it floats in
So
space.
what's an asteroid?
When an asteroid is a bigger one, so an asteroid is a meteoroid that is a little bit larger.
And what's a droid?
A droid is a piece of technology that was used in a certain movie that has a really, really cool Lego exhibition currently.
Yes, right. So don't confuse your asteroids with meteoroids and droids. Droids are robots.
Then when it burns through the sky, when we see the flash,
Why
that's
does it burn through the sky?
why is it burning through the sky?
Because someone lit it on fire?
Oxygen lit it on fire.
Nah, well, see, what happens is these things are going real fast. So sometimes up to 50,000 kilometers an hour, which is
Really fast.
considerably faster than our Kia Carnival.
How fast is 50,000 kilometers an hour?
Well, every hour you can go 50,000 kilometers.
Okay, so just to give a comparison, the International Space Station drives at 20, almost 28,000 kilometers
You're like half the
an hour.
speed. Yeah. So imagine you got this rock whipping through space, smacks
Twice
into
as
our,
fast as the ice is.
which is real quick, smacks into the upper atmosphere. Now, you've probably seen, on YouTube or whatever, when spacecraft re-enter the atmosphere, they start cooking on the bit that's facing the Earth. So as the bit that's striking the air first, that's hitting all of the drag, that heats up. And they have heat shields and stuff on them to protect the spacecraft as they come through the atmosphere. And if they have astronauts on them, obviously that helps keep them
Check the
alive.
astronauts.
Yeah. So you could imagine something going, and they aren't going that fast. I mean, they go fast, but no, nothing like the speed of an asteroid or a meteoroid. So anyway, these things are going real fast, 50, up to 50,000 kilometers an hour, and they're hitting the upper atmosphere. And that drag, or that force of those air particles hitting the rock, generates heat. And what it does, it ablates the surface. So what that means is basically starts eroding the surface of the rock away. So the rock might start out quite big, and then it shrinks as it's getting going through this through the atmosphere. Now this is really fast, like super fast. So when these rocks whip through the atmosphere, it's not like they heat up much. It's just the outside heats up. Now these rocks are cold. They're from sort of cold space. So as they hit the atmosphere, it's not like they're boiling hot and red hot. They whip through the atmosphere.
They're
That
cold.
well, it depends where they've come from, but they can be down, under minus 100 degrees. So they can be very, really, really, really cold. So as they go through the atmosphere, they heat up
Just
just on the
like
outside,
our house when we had a snap
but
cold.
it's only for like a split second, and then they're through the atmosphere and they've slowed down heaps. And they basically just end up falling to the ground, and this is what happened to this one. So that heat that's generated by the going through the atmosphere that ablates the surface. So what that means, it just erodes the surface away. So the rock actually ends up getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So you might start out with something that's like a kilogram, and end up with something that's only 100 grams.
So the light is a meteor, or in this case, it was a fireball because it was much brighter. And then as it hits the ground, it becomes a meteorite. So you've got meteoroid, fireball, or meteor, and meteorite.
And it's probably this thing, it may have disintegrated or exploded a bit on that last sort of phase. Because, in fact, in the picture of the one that where it was going down over somewhere north of Rapa who photographed it, it did look like it was disintegrating. So, hence why there's multiple bits of it found, which is kind of cool.
It was really interesting also to see our picture on the meteor camera, how it was really wide. Like you couldn't see anything. It was so bright.
Yeah, it'll overwhelm the whole sensor. So, to give you an idea how bright that is, when it's a full moon, that doesn't overwhelm the sensor. So this thing briefly would have been brighter than a full moon, which is quite staggering, really. And that's magnitude minus 11, which is pretty bright.
A little reminder of the things that can come from space.
Yeah, pretty cool, really. So our 11th recovered asteroid or meteoroid, I guess.
Meteorite.
Meteorite, yes, meteorite, this one. Here in New Zealand, which is pretty cool. And potentially the second one in Wairarapa. I was reading the other day, it was
It's
another
like
found by a farmer years ago.
11 meteorites is nothing.
No.
It's like, I mean, very small. It's a very small number.
No,
It's
yes,
not
that's
nothing, but it's a very small number.
no, because nothing would be zero.
Yeah.
Yes.
But like a sort of speech.
Yes. Yeah, so pretty cool. And it's called the Rumahanga meteorite. It's got a
Well,
name.
informally called the Romahanga meteorite.
Well, that's not going to change, is
I hope not.
it? These names kind of stick.
Well, watching meteors coming over the sky, it's a very, very cool pastime, and we highly recommend that you get a meteor camera. It is an amazing gadget to have, even if you live in a region that has a little bit more of light pollution, because you can contribute citizen science. And even though our camera at the time was overwhelmed, it still told us the time that the event occurred, which was about 10:26 after I checked PM.
Which is pretty cool. So, and fortunately, for once, he was actually a meteor in the right direction from our camera and at the right time and with clear skies. So, unfortunately, it was too close, which is pretty cool. So, hopefully, we'll spot more. Now, has anyone ever been hit by a meteorite?
I thought one person
Yeah,
has
one
been.
person
Yeah,
has.
one person has been. And another person had their couch pierced.
And one hit a house in Auckland, what,
And
20
they
years ago
sold
or
their
something?
couch on Trade Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe you can
Get a couch
put
and
a meteorite hole in it.
get the
One of
couch
them's been
with the hole.
repaired.
I wouldn't repair it.
So these, of course, there's things falling from the sky all the time. And what's more common now is bits of our satellites. Since there's a huge number of satellites whizzing around, but a cool time. Well, we have meteor showers as well, so they're always
We
something
just
that's
had a meteor shower on the 12th and 13th of August every single year. There's the Perseid meteor shower, which is a amazing meteor shower for those who live in the Northern Hemisphere. Those of us who live in the Southern Hemisphere, not so much, because Perseus is not
under the horizon.
it's not visible. And so you can't actually look in the direction of the radiant, which is the direction from which those meteors are coming.
So these meteor showers, they're caused basically because the Earth's flying through debris left behind from comets whizzing around the sun. And so the radiant is kind of the point in the sky, and it's in relation to where the stars are. And so that's why they have names like Perseids and things, because the radiant is centered in these constellations in a particular place. And the meteors tend to go out in a sort of radial pattern from that point. And of course, if that radial point is under the horizon, then we don't see them going out in a 360 degrees. We only see them in sort of one direction. And they'd be low to the horizon. Now, stuff that's low to the horizon is hard to see. It's got to be quite bright because you're looking for a lot of air. And if the air has a bit of moisture in it, that's attenuating a bit of the light, so you just don't see this faint stuff. If it's up really high, then you see quite a lot. So if you're observing a meteor shower and the radiant is really high in the sky, like 30, 40 degrees above the horizon, or higher, then you get a better view. So a lot of these meteor showers are better viewed in the northern hemisphere because they're seeing the radiance a lot higher in the sky than we see them here. We tend to see them quite low. There is one or two that we do see pretty well, but we don't see Perseids, which is the one everyone seems to bang on about every year. And you see lots of social media things saying, oh, it's big, it's huge, it's kind of coming. And then it just fizzles out because people in the southern hemisphere get a little excited over nothing.
So check your facts. Also, the difference between the Perseids and this meteorite that fell in Wairarapa, which is actually right down our alley, right? Really cool, is that the Perseids originates from dust, from when Earth flies through dust that originates from this trail left behind by Comet Swift, Comet 109 Swift Tuttle. And so that's when those grains of dust heat up and they produce the beautiful phenomenon of a meteor shower.
And they're only tiny. There's little tiny bits of grains of dust. So, like, imagine like sand grains from the beach, that kind of stuff.
And every time actually Earth crosses the debris tail from a comet or an asteroid, they're happening. Whereas the Wairarapa meteorite, it's a bit different because we think it originated somewhere from the asteroid belt. So that's very exciting. I mean, everything is
Yeah.
very exciting, but this is new stuff is very exciting. So something that came from so far away and landed in Wairarapa, what were the chances?
Exactly, yeah. And it's pretty cool it could actually be recovered. That's the hard bit, because a lot of these things fall down and you never see them. Because they land in the sea, and that's a bit hard to go and get. So we've had some really interesting meteorites over the years. Some big ones, some very big ones. Of course, the dinosaurs found out about the most massive, which of course was an asteroid.
Yeah,
So that was big.
that's
That
a
was big enough
major
to be
difference
upgraded to an asteroid.
between an asteroid and a meteorite.
Yeah. So that's pretty big.
If we could say an asteroid hit at Wairarapa, I don't think we would have had the chance to have this radio show today because we were in Wairarapa.
No, we were in the South Island, so we would have been okay at the time.
Yeah.
Well,
Tell that to the dinosaurs.
it depends how big it was. If it was only a little one, we would be all right. So when these things can hit and have an enormous amount of force behind them, so if you can imagine a rock that's a meter across or 2 meters across traveling at that speed, most of the mass is going to hit the ground. So most of it isn't going to be ablated away by the atmosphere. So a lot of rock will hit the ground and blow up. And what tends to happen when these rocks hit, if they aren't slowed down by the atmosphere, so there's a point where the rock is so big, it just pretty much ignores the atmosphere, doesn't slow down at all. So it hits the ground at 50,000 kilometers an hour. Now, most of the little rocks that you recover and that we've found so far in New Zealand, those 11, they'll probably hit the ground at a couple of hundred kilometers an hour, not 50,000 kilometers an hour. So when something hits something at 50,000 kilometers an hour and comes to a sudden stop, it releases an enormous amount of energy. There's a lot of kinetic energy. Kinetic energy, if you remember from your school days, you can calculate it by half times the mass times the velocity squared. So 50,000 squared is a really big number. And so that's a lot of energy that gets released by when it stops. So that energy essentially is an explosion. And then blows up, and you get kind of like a nuke going off, I guess, and you end up with a big crater, big round crater. If it's big enough, it can actually punch a hole in the Earth's crust, and then it exposes the melted rock underneath, and essentially you end up with a volcano kind of situation where you've got this magma suddenly exposed to the atmosphere. It starts outgassing, and you get lots of gas and ash coming out, as well as the explosion from the meteorite, and all. Mayhem gets released at that moment. There's the dinosaurs discovered.
And thanks to that, we're here.
Yeah, luckily, whereas the lizards would still be in control. So it's pretty amazing, asteroids. So you can, of course, if you just go outside on a clear night when there's no moon and look up at the sky, it won't be long before you see a meteor. You'll see them flashing around all over the place. Most nights, our camera on a clear night with no moon would probably pick up around 100 to 150 meteors in a little bit of the sky. It's looking to the north. So if you kind of extrapolate that over the whole sky, there's each night there's probably a few hundred that would be visible if you stayed out all night and somehow managed to be able to see the entire sky all the time.
Or
A few hundred.
join Fireballs Aotearoa and get a meteor camera, and you can download the video from your camera every day and watch what happens to the sky. It's really, really interesting, really cool.
Yeah. What else we got about meteorites? Meteors. or asteroids.
There are many museums around the world that have these meteorites, and even I bought a pair of earrings that have meteorites. Well, allegedly meteorites.
So yeah,
We'll
well,
have to see about that.
so
So.
some of them are covered in iron meteorites. They've iron and a bit of nickel. So that's the kind of center of probably a larger object that broke apart. To get iron out in space, you really need a whole lot of stuff squished up together and melted so that the iron can sink into the middle. And then, of course, it's got to break up. So the asteroid belt's a good place for stuff to break up because they bang into each other and knock them apart. And then a little bit of that broken up asteroid sails on into the Earth and goes splat, and you end up with an iron, mostly iron meteorite. And they tend to be very solid. They're the ones that don't really break apart. They're going very fast, and they hit pretty hard. So iron ones. So there's a few of those floating around in museums and stuff.
Well, a good shout out is to Dunedin Museum
Oh, yes.
that has done an amazing job. If you have the chance to go to Dunedin and see the meteorite, it is going to be really, really cool because it's right there
Yeah,
in the
you can see
center.
the
Yeah, you
Takapo
can. Yeah.
meteorite. It's right there, the 10th one found in New Zealand. That was found a couple of years ago, also by the Fireballs Aotearoa Network,
Network.
which is pretty cool.
Very, very cool. So
And Steve was
hopefully.
on that search as well.
Steve was, yeah, and
Yeah.
hopefully we will find out very soon where this one will go.
Yeah, maybe it'll, maybe hopefully it remains in the water app, which would be really cool.
It'll be really cool.
Okay, well, that's us for the Y Space for another week. And we'll see you next time.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star Safari.